Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ashiana Housing Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Ashiana Housing Q4 FY 2022 earnings call hosted by Dolat Capital. We have the senior management of Ashiana Housing with us today, Mr. Varun Gupta, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Vikash Dugar, CFO. Now I will hand over the call to Mr. Vikash Dugar for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rahul. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope all of you and your families are keeping healthy. I welcome you all to discuss the performance of the fourth quarter and the year ended March 2022 for Ashiana Housing. Thank you for joining us today. The year gone by was exciting in terms of new acquisitions. We saw a healthy momentum in housing demand and hence explored various areas where we can execute further to meet the future demand. Six new land parcels have been acquired in the year, first being Gurgaon, where we are planning another kid-centric homes in an approximate 22.1 acres. Second being in Pune, a senior living project in Varale in 11.93 acres. Third in Jaipur, 8.6 acres, regular comfort homes. Another in Jamshedpur, 3.96 acres, and lastly, two land parcels in Chennai of 15.64 acre and 9.93 acre each, both being senior living projects. Total potential sellable area in these new parcels will be around 61 lakh sq ft. And with this, we also see senior living share increasing in our portfolio in future years. Area booked recorded in FY 2022 was 14.76 lakh sq ft as compared to 14.97 lakh sq ft in FY 2021. In the last quarter, that is Q4 FY 2022, 4.53 lakh square foot of area was booked as compared to 4.21 lakh square foot in Q3 FY 2022. In Q4, bookings were driven by Ashiana Amantran Phase 3, which was launched in Q4, Nirmay Phase 4, Bhiwadi, Ashiana Anmol Phase 2, Gurgaon, and Ashiana Shubham Phase 4 in Chennai. Value of area booked increased to rupees 573.25 crores this year vis-a-vis rupees 534.68 crores in FY 21. Sales price improved to rupees 3883 per square foot in FY 22 versus rupees 3571 per square foot in FY 21, driven by increasing prices across projects and changing mix towards higher priced projects. We handed over 8.86 lakh square foot in FY 22. This was against a delivery of 8.55 lakh square foot in FY 21. Total revenue declined to 233.59 crores in FY 22 versus 259.31 crores in FY 21 due to lower deliveries. PCA also declined to negative 6.56 crores in FY 22 vis-a-vis positive 4.08 crores in FY 21. There was an additional impact of provision of rupees 4.26 crores for the misappropriation of funds incident discovered during the year. Quarterly, total revenue increased to 78.28 crores in Q4 FY 22 versus 54.19 crores in Q3 FY 22 due to higher deliveries. PCA also improved to positive 9.22 crores in Q4 FY 22 versus negative 3.28 crores in Q3 FY 22. Pre-tax operating cash flows was positive at 165.05 crores in FY 22 vis-a-vis positive rupees 171.65 crores in FY 21. It remained positive in all the four quarters of the year. Equivalent area constructed was at 16.2 lakh square foot in FY 22 versus 11.66 lakh square foot in FY 21. Quarterly equivalent area constructed was at 5.07 lakh square foot in Q4 FY 22 versus 3.73 lakh square foot in the previous quarter and the same was 3.90 lakh square feet in Q4 FY21. On this note, I would like to conclude my remarks. We will now be happy to discuss any questions or suggestions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand in terms of FY23, what's the outlook in terms of launches, what are we planning, and what are we trying to target in terms of pre-sales, etc. If you could just share some outlook.
Hi, Rohit, right?
Yes.
Hi, Rohit. Varun here. So I think this year is an important year for us. We had lots of we picked up a lot of projects last year, and we had a couple of pending projects to launch this year. So this year is exciting. We are looking to launch a few projects, greenfield new projects. So I think overall launches, overall put together phases that will be launched will be about 25 to 30 lakh square foot this year. Of those, I think half, about 12 odd lakh square foot would be new phases of existing projects, and another, you know, 15 to 20 lakh square foot would be launches of the first phase of new greenfield projects that we are looking at. We are looking at a large improvement in pre-sales, particularly on the revenue side, driven by increasing prices and changing product mix. So I think the company is looking at crossing about the 1,000 crore mark, and we're looking at 1,100 crore pre-sale number this year as compared to 573 that we did in FY22. So I think that's the internal target. So they are a little stretched, but I think right now the environment is very positive and we have inventory to sell.
Right. So just, sir, on this point, as you said, it would be the highest ever that you would have sold. This 1,100 crores, so this would be largely out of all the launches that you're planning, would Gurgaon be a significant part of that, and out of this 1,100 crores, would that be a big contributor? Would that be a fair...
The new Gurgaon project would be a large contributor, even in Ashiana Anmol, the older project of Ashiana of Gurgaon in Sona, that will also be a big contributor. We have seen good sales last year in that, and we expect further improvement in sales value there as well.
The new phase that we have launched there, right?
Yeah, so the new project has not been launched. The new project will be launched and will be of a high contribution in this in the financial year 23. And Ashiana Anmol in Gurgaon, the older project, that will continue to do good value of sales, even better than what we did last year. Last year was also a good number there last year.
All right. So, got it.
Gurgaon should contribute in our expectations, you know, more than a quarter of the sales, total sales value of across those two projects should contribute more than a quarter of the total sales value.
Okay, got it. And So just one clarification on this point. Ashiana Anmol is basically phase two, right? Because phase one, we've already, I think, broadly sold out pretty much, right?
Phase one, we are sold out. It will be phase two, and we will launch phase three as well in this year.
Okay. Okay. So phase two has been launched, or sorry, I missed that part. Has it been launched in FY22?
Phase two was launched in Q3 of last year.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And sir, from a reported number point of view, this year is also expected to be good. And I think in the last call you mentioned that we are targeting 15% ROE this year. So do we stand by that? I mean, if you can just talk a bit about that as well.
So when we look at, I had given some clarifications, I would be at odds. We are targeting to get to 15% ROE, but we look at our economic basis internally in the company. Reported basis is a little bit more deferred. So this year, I was incorrect in my expectations of reported profits this year. When we have reworked the numbers, we will hit double-digit ROE numbers, but right now teens seem, on a reported basis, seem a little further away than this year. But on an economic basis, the way we track, we have seen improving ROEs, and I think that will continue this year, and hopefully we should get into the teens on an economic basis this year as per our work. But the reported numbers will take some time to flow in.
Sure. And just one more thing on these launches. Are these more evenly placed or more towards the back end of the year? How should one think about, I mean, how are you guys going about it?
So phase launches, I'm not completely aware of right now when we will stagger them, they get timed. The new greenfield launches, I think we should do about three of them in the first half of the year and three of them in the second half of the year. So three projects we have actually applied for RERA already. So one in Pune, one in Gurgaon, and one in Bhiwadi. Three projects RERA has been applied for. So depending, you know, they might get carried forward to third quarter, but I expect those to get launched in the second quarter the way things are progressing right now.
Got it. Fine, sir. I'll get back in with you. All the very best, sir. Hopefully we'll be able to reach these numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ro.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Rohit Prakash from Marshmallow Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question is on the industry in general. So I think a couple of months back there was this release from CREDAI which mentioned that because of the rising commodity prices, some of the players might not be able to construct their fulfill the commitments because the construction cost has gone up too much. So I just wanted to get your sense of what, I mean, how is the commodity cost affecting us? Are we able to maintain our spreads and margins with the rising cost? Because it's a very weird situation, right? So the project which did extremely well, we are getting penalized because we are having to construct it with higher material costs. So could you discuss that a little bit, please?
So let me take the second part of the question first. So I think one of the key things has been that if we are quick to construct, then the commodity prices have not hurt us, right? Like, say, you know, we had a very good launch in Ashiana Daksh, Ashiana Aditya. Those projects, because we constructed relatively quickly, the time gap between locking in the sale price and the construction cost incurring was not very high. The problem really happens to a lot of players where, you know, you've locked in the sales price early on and then your construction timelines are far longer than you know, you would expect, either because of the nature of construction or sometimes just because of not able to managing construction management. We are able to run the projects in a tight schedule, so that does not hurt us. One place like in Ashiana Amantran Phase 2, which is a smaller piece, but the timelines, just because the way the phases were structured and when we were seeing demand, we sold Phase 2 a year before actually really starting full-fledged construction on that phase. And there we will get hurt because of commodity price, because the price was locked in earlier and construction calls happened later. And commodities are also, majority of the commodities are actually consumed heavily in the early part of construction. You know, steel, RMC, those consumption is in the early part of the construction. You do consume cement, bricks and all later, but the proportion of consumption of commodities are in the first 15 months of the construction cycle are much heavier than in the later phase. That said, if finishing costs, if commodity prices flow into finishing costs, which they sometimes do, that can be a problem, like they have flowed in a little bit. That said, now coming back to question one on maintaining margins, I see from a long run perspective margin expansion. We might have a slight compression in our gross margins for the next year or two because of this commodity price cycle that you're saying hurting well sold units, but the expected compression in margins is not very significant. But higher volumes on a similar fixed cost base, I think we will have a expansion of net profit margins, therefore happening in EBITDA margins, happening and expanding because of the same. From a longer run perspective, I have a very strong view that the overall expansion in sales prices will be higher than the expansion in construction costs, and we should have margin expansion over the next 3 to 5 year basis. I think real estate is also changing into a budget. Vikas, you also just added to me that I think senior living mix is also improving in the project mix, and senior living tends to enjoy a higher gross margin for us. So that will also lead to some margin expansion for us as we go along. I think those were some of the things. So I am quite bullish over the next 3 to 5 years for us.
So quick question. So I'm guessing even kid-centric, we should be enjoying better gross margins, right?
Kid-centric, we should get a better gross margin after some time. I think, you know, it is still work in progress in terms of creating the differential value for the customers, or differentiated value, which senior living also took a bit, which now it does. I think kid-centric homes will take a little bit longer before we start enjoying higher margins there.
Got it. So could you also share, so as a percentage of things we maintain, that we like to maintain the land cost to be 15 or 20%. So what portion of the sales would be construction costs? What is the number that you're comfortable with generally?
We typically look at about a 30% gross profit margin. Gross profit margin is sales less construction cost, less land cost, and less what we call project overhead cost. Project overhead cost includes cost of approvals, cost of architects, those things.
Construction cess and all that.
Labor cess that we have to pay, any sort of other. And also what we look at as project level financing costs are also put into that head. So in our view, all of those things should total about 70% of sale value on an average. You know, in joint venture projects, sometimes they go up to like, you know, 72-73%, and our gross margins do come down at the time we are looking at the project. You know, how the future actually beholds is very different. Sometimes margins expand, sometimes they compress. So typically my view is that we should look at about, you know, 45% of revenues as construction costs, 5% of revenues at project overheads, and about 20% of revenues as sale price on a blended basis. You know, revenue share we also have given we typically give mid-20s car revenue share, like, you know, 22, 23, 24, 25%. That's the typical revenue share that we offer. In those situations, sometimes the margin compresses, sometimes we believe our like construction cost would be a little bit lower. That's the typical perspective.
So the 45% construction cost that you said, what would be material and what would be labor? Typically.
Say that again?
So of the 45% construction cost that you said, what would be material and what would be labor?
Okay. So 100 rupees of construction is typically 70 rupees material, 20 rupees labor, and 10 rupees of site overhead, construction and site overhead.
Perfect. So that was very helpful. And just curious to know, so in general, so again, going back to what we see, saw about the credit press release, do you see a reduced demand, I mean, reduced competition when you are looking out and scouting for land parcels right now? And do you see an increased consolidation as far as the customer preference is also concerned? Do you see any slowdown in construction by your peers in the locality that you're in?
So on point one, actually it's exactly the opposite on the land side. Land prices have really ballooned over the last 12 months. I think we've been fortunate that we closed 6 transactions last year and they will have healthy margins because land prices were locked. You know, we closed transactions, so land transactions were locked in, you know, 6-8 months prior to that before closing, and we hit good prices. On the land side, we are seeing lots of competition, and we are really right now really mostly scouting in Jaipur and Gurgaon. Chennai and Pune and Jamshedpur, we are scouting Jaipur, Gurgaon and Jamshedpur, because Pune and Chennai, we have our hands full with the 2 new projects to be launched in each of those cities. In all these 3 cities, I think the plotted layout market has been on fire, and that is... Those are the guys really competing for land, less of the guys who really want to do development. And that is creating a lot of land price increases. Yeah. So therefore, finding new land opportunities is a little bit of a challenge at this point of time. That said, we were able to close one transaction about a week ago, week 10 days ago for in Jaipur. And at decent terms as well. So that's where it sits. On construction volumes, I believe we are a little far away from construction volumes going up across the country on a substantial basis, but not too far away. I think new developers are entering the market, which will have clean balance sheets, fresh starts, and they will be able to up construction. That said, the availability of capital remains a constraint, and I think the biggest constraint for construction supply to me will be availability of capital. If that starts changing significantly, I think a lot of new developers will join the market and increase supply. Right now, capital remains a constraint.
Perfect. That was very helpful. And last question from my end. So, would I be right in thinking that with the high expectation of higher contribution from Gurgaon and Pune and higher contribution from senior living as well, we should comfortably cross the 4,000 mark this year? That would be the expectation, right?
Absolutely. I think we'll cross 4,500 rupees a mark for this year. Last year, the quarter 3 and quarter 4, yes, we were comfortably about the 4,000 rupees a square foot. Q4, we were at 4,093.
4,000 rate we have already started to hit since the last 2 quarters of FY22. So,
Perfect. Yeah, thank you so much. This is very, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Seth from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So firstly, on your 1100 crore pre-sales target, I mean, not FY23, but beyond that, how do we look to sustain it or grow on it? And how much does the current pipeline give us the visibility? And let's say if we want to sustain, grow on that beyond this, what sort of capital investment we would need to continuously add projects in the pipeline.
So, Pritesh, I think we've got to work on visibility beyond FY23 right now. FY23-24, I think, would still be okay because a lot of the projects we launched this year will continue into the next year and they'll carry some momentum behind them. I don't know how much we'll be able to sustain it that year. That said, I think Vikasji is telling me that we picked up 60 lakh square foot last year. We have about 30-40 lakh square foot to sell from previous year stock. Like, I think we have about 10 lakhs in ongoing phases, about 4.5 lakh square foot in completed stock. We have, Ashiana Azvik to launch and some new phases to launch, probably about 40-50 lakh square foot from there as well. Of all this put together. So I think a crore, 10 lakh square foot is probably crore, 10 lakh square foot is what we have to sell. My view is that we should average in these projects north of 4,500 rupees a square foot. So probably around 5,000 crores of sale value is what we have to sell at this moment of time. I think one key impact about it is to sustain this, is to ensure that the cycle of these projects are on average 5 years and not average 7, 8, 9 years. That will help, ensuring that we are able to hit pre-sales numbers quite. And second, we'll need to do more transactions. I don't think we require capital. We have a substantial liquidity right now. We have a line from IFC which will come in right now. A little bit needs to get disbursed. Additional capital requirements are, in the short term, not a requirement. We are, as I said, looking to A, improve ROEs. So improving ROEs will throw in profits that can fund this. Second, I think a lot of our capital was stuck in underperforming projects. At one point in time, Ashiana Anmol had a very large proportion of our balance sheet. We freed a chunk of it now, and the way sales are going there, we free monies there. So I believe that a lot of our capital in what I would call underperforming projects should also get released. And that coupled with additional profits and churn in good projects, all of that put together, I think we are okay with the next, 12 to 24 months at least in terms of doing acquisitions to provide the projects for growth. The question really is more at the land prices. The land prices in the last 12 months have gone beyond double. Yeah. They have doubled up in a lot of places, and that just makes new projects unviable unless and until we start looking at assumptions which are not reasonable. So I think navigating that is a much bigger challenge than capital. And let me put it this way. So there are challenges, but capital is not the challenge.
Great. And on the capital-related question, my question was largely on not if you require an external capital or not, but internally, how much we would need to, fund these acquisitions? What are our targets? How much we want to spend on these acquisitions on a year-on-year basis?
So the first year, FY23, we are looking to spend about 200 crores on these acquisitions. So that's what we are looking to do. And if we are able to do joint ventures, then that would be even lower than that. We have some outright things in it structured, but we would much rather do joint ventures if we can and keep the balance sheet as capitalized as possible.
Right, and how much we did last year? I mean, for this 6 million square feet addition, how much was...
Yeah, I think we spent about... our own equity, we would have spent about, and IFC line, everything put together for new acquisities, about 250, 260 odd crores would have gone, all of that, including deposits that we gave to landowners for JV and, lands that we acquired.
Okay, great. And on the land price increase that you have been highlighting, this is typically, location specific, like I know Gurgaon probably have, we have seen a sharp increase in prices, specifically people looking at broader development or independent floors. But is it the case even in Chennai, Pune as well, or this is particularly, you know, micro market specific?
It is, yeah, I don't know across the board. I know Chennai also, the place Neyveli where we take the land by, prices have gone up 1.5 to 2x. We have gotten offers to sell it also at a much larger value than we bought it at. Pune I'm not so well aware of, so I can't comment. But Chennai also land prices have gone up. And the driver of land price increase across the board seems layouts.
Seems, sorry?
Plotted layouts, sir. Driving
plotted layouts. Okay. Okay, okay. Got it. And now we are doing projects in Pune, Chennai. We already have exposure to, you know, Crescent, Rajasthan and Gurgaon. What is the mix overall we are targeting maybe 2-3 years down the line? How much business we want to do from each of the micro markets?
So I don't know. We have a 2-3 year view right now that to share. Pritesh, right?
Okay. Yeah, Pritesh, yeah.
So we don't have a clear view of markets. What we have is we do want senior living to start contributing between 6 to 8 lakh square foot a year. Okay, more from a percentage mix. I think we are looking at, you know, 6 to 8 lakh square foot a year. We would also want Chennai, Gurgaon, Pune to start contributing about 40% of our areas. So, and we would probably contribute a little higher on a revenue framework because their price points are a little higher in these markets, maybe 45% on a revenue framework. But that's what we are looking to get to. I think a larger understanding that we want is more than that. We want these locations to hit a minimum threshold of profitability and return on capital that we have put in these locations. I think that's what we are looking to get to. So in Chennai, I think we have hit a minimum profitability target. In Chennai, we have hit a minimum return on capital employed target as well that we look at on a location basis. That Chennai is already qualified for those two. Now we have put more money behind Chennai and we want to take Chennai to the next level in terms of that. Gurgaon also was not doing so well. We have just started opening up in Gurgaon. I think FY24 onwards, from in our internal economic basis, Gurgaon will also start hitting a minimum threshold of profitability and a minimum threshold of
returns. Yeah.
Pune is where the worry remains. We are not able to get the projects off yet. So even though we have projects, I'm hoping Ashana Malhar, we have applied for ERA. Hopefully we'll start kicking it off there. And more than the revenue targets, what we will look for, it when, how long will it take to the minimum ROC in an internal threshold that we have? I think that's the larger game plan. I think that's the way we will look at things.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Thanks. That's it from my side. And thank you for very frank answers. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you again for the opportunity. So, sir, my question is also related to what you just answered in the previous questioners. On sustainability of numbers. So, I mean, just from a, so you mentioned you have about 1 crore worth of square feet in terms of saleability. And given what you've said in terms of your pre-sales target this year, I'm assuming you'll probably do close to 2.5 million kind of number. So is there, this year obviously you've done many deals and many congratulations for that. Is there a broad framework that you're looking at in terms of, okay, we will have like let's say we are looking at a 2.5-3 million run rate of sales every year. Some may be higher, some year may be lower, but broadly, if you take that as a run rate, these are an amount of, like, we need to backfill or something like that. Is there some broad framework that you're working on? I mean, if you can probably share that, that'll be helpful.
So I think if you look at the stack of the numbers, when we talk about a crore kind of a pipeline which is there, considering the kind of acquisition we did in FY22 as well, and the kind of pipeline we have in future projects, and the sellable price that we are looking at, something around 4500 per square foot, I think with 5000 crore, we can certainly look at on an average a run rate of 2 million or 2 million plus kind of a number on a per annum basis. So you can easily deduce that kind of a number. That is the kind of run rate we should try and hit.
So just to add, I think that's the minimum threshold that we are looking at now. I think that we will look to expand that to 2.5-3 and take that further. I think about a larger thing, I think the thinking in the company has moved, and I would urge, is moved from just thinking top line to thinking we need 15% return on equity. Let's figure out how to get there. Is that 2 million? Is that 3 million? Is that 1.5 million? Let's figure it out. I think so. A lot of play is also going around and thinking on margin expansion. So that is coming in from a higher sale price. From a per square foot margin, will expand on a higher sale price basis. To look at senior living projects which have a little bit more less competition, therefore, and a well differentiated product to provide better gross margins for us on a percentage basis as well, not only just on a per square foot basis. So I think there is some more thinking around what do we need to do that we maintain 15% ROE on a threshold basis. So if you want to do 2.5-3 million square foot, we have enough capital to go ahead and lock in another 50 lakh square foot today. If not more, we can lock in probably 60-70 lakh square foot if we go ahead and do joint venture terms, because joint venture, the problem is not the deposit people are asking for, is the revenue share ratios that people are looking for. But, that will compress margins and ROEs in the future. So I think the thing we are looking to do is how do we navigate a minimum ROE threshold that we want to get to, and keep that going. I think that's the critical piece that we're looking at. I think otherwise 2.5-3 million square foot of run rate on any other basis right now, I think the organization is geared up to sustain that for sure. 2 million, so we have visibility anyways today with what we have. And I think 4-5 transactions we are looking at this year anyways to feed. So I think that will keep get the momentum higher. So I think figuring that out is important for us, that how do we keep the ROE threshold always intact.
So I think in nutshell, the focus is on profitable growth rather than only growth.
So that's very helpful. Actually, I think you answered it in brief, but what I was trying to sort of ask was that, I mean, given that we will probably do this run rate of sales, and that would mean that we are taking away from the overall saleable area. So we would need to be on this, we need to keep doing transactions every year or whatever the time frame is. So I was asking, what was the overall thought process? Is it like we want to, like, 5 years worth of sales in terms of
We have always looked at 5 to 7 times annual sales number before this, Rohit. We might want to consider if we can work with a little lower threshold, and maybe let's say 4 times sales, and if land prices are heavy. So it depends. Yeah, last year we did 6 million square foot. That's a lot more than our annual run rate. Because we saw growth potential and we saw the markets were priced correctly in terms of land. So we will have some years where we'll do a lot of transactions, and we'll have some years which will be a little bit slower. I think we'll be a little bit more flexible around that. Earlier we had a little bit more set thought. We might want to be a little bit more flexible as we go around to ensure that we are able to keep ROEs focused. So I don't think we'll come down below 4, and hopefully we'll not go up beyond 8.
Right. Got it. So and sir, one more. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. Again, very helpful. So just one more question specifically, let's say on Gurgaon, in the micro market within Gurgaon that we are in. I mean, how is the supply situation there? Do you see like supply increasing there, or there is not much supply from quality developers like you?
Okay. So yeah, on the supply side is mostly coming in what people call a scheme called Deen Dayal scheme there, which is a plotted layout scheme. So most supply is coming in plotted layouts, or they are coming in floors on these plotted layouts. The kind of projects we are looking to do, group housing, it's a rarity right now in launches in Gurgaon. So the kind of product we want to do, which was heavily oversupplied about 4 years ago, I think is getting into an undersupply scenario now.
Got it. Okay.
If you look at the data, even on the website also of authorities like DTCP, in the last 3-4 years, if you try and call out the data as to what are the total approvals that have been given, those are very, very few. So,
right.
The supply has been really constrained in this space.
Right. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, and all the very best. Thanks.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Dedia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I was looking at the booking value per flat that Ashiana has been doing, and this has gone up quite a bit. Like from in FY19, I think this was around 40 lakhs. This year you get 54 lakhs. So that's about 30-35% increase in selling price per flat. Like how much will you attribute this to land and construction costs versus improved company profitability?
So I would attribute a larger part of this to changing mix. Two, three things have happened. Some average flat area that we've been also selling has increased by about 10% over the last few years, so last couple of years. So I think we were, average area was around 1200, 1250. It's gotten closer to 1350, 1400 square foot that we are selling. So a little bit of this is that. Second bit is also some product mix changes, like Gurgaon contributing more, which is priced higher per square foot. So therefore, the change is also in mix. We have also increased prices on a per square foot basis. Till now, the increased prices and increased cost in land and construction are more or less covered right now in the older project that we are reporting. I think, but as I said, a margin expansion phase has started. So now whatever we are selling, I think in this year or this quarter, I think those projects now have better margins than they would have had a year or 2 years ago when we locked in the project, or 4-5 years ago. Depending on whenever we locked in the project, the margins today would be better than that time.
So now the margins would be like over 30% on a gross profit margin basis.
Not across, but some the new projects that we will launch, except for a couple that were launched, that were done in 2015, those deals are 2016-17 transactions. Outside of those, I would expect margin expansion to happen, particularly some of the new transactions we have done. And I have clarified, in joint ventures like revenue shares, we do compromise on margin sometimes because capital employed is lower, so they do come below the 30% threshold anyways. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we clock in at, you know, 24, 25, sometimes at 27. We do compromise there depending on the location, saleability and those. In those projects, you know, if we had locked in at 25, I would expect 27% margins, like a couple of percentage points higher than what we had locked in. I'm hoping that whatever we sell now, gross margins will hopefully be around a little around 30% on a blended basis. But those on a reported basis are still 3 years away. Huh?
Okay. Makes sense. Thanks for the clarification. Also about indirect expenses, I think this was about 90 crores in FY21. What would this number be in FY22?
FY22 or 23, you
mean? 22. What would this number be in 22? And then maybe also what you guys expect in 23?
Okay. So, so if you look at other expenses, there are three components that I would say three, four components to the other expenses. One is general, what I would call employee expenses and general administrative expenses. Okay, on a standalone basis, I think we had spent about 56 odd crores in these other expenses. Of that 56, I think about 17, 18 crores is selling expenses. Selling expenses for us are timed to revenue recognition. They are generally cost. Most of the 90% of selling costs are recognized when the expenses, when the revenue is recognized and it gets carried forward as unaccrued selling expenses. So that will vary year on year. But outside of that, what is about roughly about 48 crores, that I would expect to grow about 15 to 20% over the next year as a cost. And finance costs, so that should be closer to about 60-65 crores. That 46 crore figure will be closer to 60-65 crores. Selling expenses, I think we can look at about 4.5% of revenues that we will do generally. And the finance cost should come down actually. It has come down this year and it should come down significantly. You can see quarterly the numbers are decreasing quarter and quarter. Finance cost should come down significantly. That's pretty much the components of the expenses.
Just one clarification. So you said like 56 crores of employee plus SG&A, like general administrator. And out of that, 17 or 18 crores is direct selling. Oh, sorry, 66
crores is SG&A. Okay, employee benefit expenses and other expenses put together. See, on a standalone basis. Of that 66, about 18 to 20 crores is selling expenses.
Okay, perfect. That makes sense. Thanks for the clarification. And that's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and I apologize in advance because I joined late. Varun, I was wondering if you gave guidance for the sellable area for this year.
We gave an area book guidance, VP. We are looking at doing a sale value of 1100 crores this year.
Okay, so not in terms of square foot, but more in terms of value, right? Or we can
internally we are also shifting on a value basis a lot because the mix of the projects are changing substantially. And we also do want to drive up prices a little bit. We see price opportunity increases. So given that, we are focusing more on increasing the value. And 1100 is an aspirational figure internally to get to. I think we'll get there. But I think we'll definitely cross the 1000 crore number and hoping to hit 1100 also.
Right. And what was the number, corresponding number this year, fiscal year 23?
573 crores.
573. Okay. So almost looking to double it. Okay. And then on your slide 24 future projects, it seems we will run out of projects from Jaipur and Chennai fairly quickly, from what I can tell here. So are you scouting for more land in Jaipur? Because, of course, in Chennai, you have acquired two land parcels, so I guess you are set there. If you can just comment on Jaipur side.
In Jaipur also, we have two projects that are coming up. One we had acquired, which is Ashiana Ekansh, which is in the land bank already.
Correct. Right.
Next, which is in the future projects section here, sorry.
Yeah, it's in slide 25, yeah.
And we announced acquisition of another project and we have announced another project about 10 days ago in Jaipur, around 6.5 lakh square foot that we just concluded in the month of May. So we have two, and we are scouting for between one or two more transactions in Jaipur right now. As I articulated earlier, we need to find pockets where land prices are making sense. The plotted market in Jaipur is behaving irrationally, according to me, and very frothy. So land prices in some pockets are very frothy at this point.
Okay. So aside from Jaipur, is there any area where you feel you are low on the land inventory?
Not right now.
Jamshedpur finding.
Jamshedpur and Gurgaon. Jamshedpur and Gurgaon is also where we are scouting for more transactions.
Achha, that's interesting, because in Gurgaon you already have this, Amara coming up, right? So you want to add more pipeline after this or in parallel with this?
In parallel with this, we want to add more pipe. In Gurgaon, we have a view that our brand is now getting further stronger, sales momentum behind us over there, and we should try and make the most of that sales momentum is the view that we have.
Got it. And then Jodhpur and Jamshedpur, is it correct to assume that these are sort of satellite market and not core to us? Is that a fair understanding, or is something changing in those two markets?
They will be on the fringes and in terms of scale and opportunities. I don't see them becoming extremely large in terms of...
So Jodhpur is a market anyway, for us lacks depth. But in terms of continuously doing some volume, Jamshedpur is in that space. In the sense that we attempt to get some volume, although the volume is not to the extent in markets like Jaipur for sure, but then consistently we look out for parcels. Finding parcels in that part of India is a little difficult, but then they remain old and somewhat consistently some bit of volume generating kind of markets. Jamshedpur specifically, not Jodhpur.
Right. Yeah. No, got it, Vikash. Thank you. So our core markets will remain Gurgaon, Chennai, Pune, which is sort of developing, and obviously Jaipur, right? Those are the...
And Bhiwadi.
Yeah, of course. Bhiwadi will always be there.
The senior living opportunity is becoming very large for us. Yeah.
Right. Talking about Bhiwadi, any update on Milakpur, or is the status quo?
Status quo in Milakpur right now. We have filed for RERA for phase one of Ashiana Advik, which is the new senior living project there. I think that's the exciting part.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. That's all I had. Appreciate it. All the best.
Thank you, Vivi.
A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line.
Go ahead, ma'am. Please, go ahead.
The next question is on the line of Harsh Dedia, an individual investor. Please go
ahead. Hi. Thanks for the follow-up. The Milakpur land also reminds me of Kolkata. Are there any updates on the Ashiana Maitri project over there?
No updates there, yeah. Those difficult stuffs there, Harsh. Don't know what to do.
Is it possible to actually free up capital by selling land?
We've been trying that. That's also been difficult to execute, but that is a possibility. those transactions do take some time to put together, but we are working on putting something together to free up some capital for them.
And then eventually last year you guys were also scouting, you were scouting for some opportunities in Ranchi area and the eastern area. Did you guys find anything over there?
Can you say that again,
Ranchi. Ranchi as a location is same.
We are not considering Ranchi.
Yeah.
Sharash, we were considering it given that, you know, Jamshedpur, we have work and we could do more work in Ranchi. I think we have decided not to explore Ranchi as a market right now.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Chaturvedi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Varun. Just want to check in terms of potential up moves in interest rates in the year ahead, at what level do you think there could be a slight slowdown in the interest in real estate market? Another 100 basis points?
I saw peak interest rates at home loans had gone closer to 11. 10.75, 10.8 was the peak home loan interest rates maybe 5, 6 years ago. And it came down slowly to about 6.5 levels, right?
Correct.
In my view, till about 8.5% of home loan interest rates, I think we'll be okay and comfortable. That's the threshold where I think demands will start slowing down, I think.
Okay. And do you think that this level is different for, say, Tier 1 cities versus, say, Tier 2, Tier 3 cities? Or do you think it's broadly similar across the country?
Vikashji and I both concur. We didn't have a view on this, but before, but
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think across Tier 1 or Tier 2, I think 1.5 to 2%, even if the rate inches by that extent, the demand would be agnostic to it, is what we feel.
Yeah, the same levels, 8.5 odd.
Okay. And are you also seeing, I heard you speaking in an earlier question that the size of the flats that you are building and delivering now have gone bigger, but do you think it's been more since COVID, or it's broadly in that 1,300-1,400 square feet range now?
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with COVID. Those projects were planned earlier, okay. Sales have happened post-COVID, but they are coincidental that is there. I think this is just, I think real estate has cycles of improved affordability where, you know, unit prices increase both on a per square foot basis and a size. Then size start compressing when affordability hits its peak and unit ticket size start decreasing. After a bit, there's no room left and per square foot prices also compress, and you are right. That's the cycle that played out over the last 7-8 years. I think the cycle is just turning the other way around, where we are seeing best ever affordability for people to buy homes, and the cycle is turning.
And in our case, as we mentioned earlier, that it is the mix of projects, the geographical location like Gurgaon and all, which also are contributing in terms of increasing the
per square foot pricing.
And the size of the units also, to an extent.
That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Vivek.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
We would like to thank all of you for being on this call and being so patient with all the questions and answers. If we were unable to take any question, please feel free to write to us directly or reach out to us directly. And with that, we would like to conclude the call. A lot of the material we have spoken about is posted on our website, and you can also email your queries for any further clarification. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on this call. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.